You are listening to a special edition of the Commute Podcast featuring Augusta Chronicle sports editor and columnist John Boyette discussing the PGA Championship and Tiger Woods' chances of following up on last month's Masters win with another major championship. I'm Adam Van Brimmer, the editorial page editor of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. We publish this podcast 3 days a week, and for those interested in topics related to sports, politics, and culture, it's a good listen. It's often Savannah-specific, but we discuss many issues of statewide impact as well. We encourage you to search for The Commute with that Savannah Opinion on your podcast app and click the subscribe button. It's easy and it's free. The PGA Championship tees off Thursday at Bethpage Black. The PGA is the year's second major and Masters champion Tiger Woods' next opportunity to continue his resurgence. Woods ended a decade-long major championship drought last month at Augusta and hasn't played a competitive round since. John Boyette of the Augusta Chronicle joins me now to help preview an intriguing weekend of golf. Joined now on the commute by Augusta Chronicle sports editor John Boyette. John, we're about a month removed from the Masters, which of course ended with Tiger Woods basically reclaiming his, what many think is his rightful spot atop the golf world. And as we get ready to go into the PGA Championship and you look back a little bit on the Masters, is there anything that kind of sticks out in your mind from what happened a month ago?
Oh, wow. I mean, it was such an exciting couple of weeks here in Augusta with the women's amateur first and then the Tiger Woods winning the Masters, which was, put golf back on the front pages all around the world. And, I always thought that he was going to have a moment like that. And, I was glad I was there to see it. I mean, it was right. Just nothing like hearing those people, the fans around the 18th green and all over by the clubhouse chanting his name, Tiger, 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 after he had after he won on that Sunday afternoon. So
even when Tiger was in his prime at Augusta, people always said, well, the fans are really excited for him, but he doesn't have that Nicklaus roar. I wasn't there a month ago, but just watching it on television, I kind of get the feeling that a little bit of the time away and the excitement over his comeback, maybe he was getting some Nicklaus-like roars. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah, I think it's very fair. He was clearly the people that the fans were most interested in winning. And, being a Nicklaus aficionado, and right. I was there in 1986 when he won. So mm-hmm. I drew a lot of parallels to that. And, in terms of, nobody really, thinking, back then Jack was really an afterthought. Didn't really, right. Nobody thought he was going to win at age 46. And of course, all that dynamic has changed now with, golfers are much better shape and mm-hmm. playing well into their 40s and contending in majors and all that. So, there was just a lot of things. And it was good to see Tiger come from behind and win a major, which is something he'd never done before in his career. And, I think he intimidated some of those guys coming down the stretch. I mean, how many guys hit the ball in the water at number 12,
right.
Four in the last two or three groups. So, he definitely has had that Nicklaus-like effect on him.
Yeah, let's stay right there because a lot of people said one of the biggest differences between Tiger Woods now and Tiger Woods before the injuries and before the fiasco with his ex-wife and everything was the guys that are of his generation that are of his age group. He was in their heads. He completely intimidated them. These younger guys, they didn't have that history. They didn't have that intimidation. Well, I got to tell you, watching it come down the stretch on Sunday, it certainly looked like when his name went back up on the leaderboard that they were just as intimidated. Do you think that was just the mystique, or do you think that may be something that is here to stay?
I think maybe a combination. I'm really anxious to see how he does this week at the PGA up at Bethpage. He's taking the whole month off since playing at winning the Masters, and that's something he's done a handful of times in his career. So, it's not unusual for him to take a 3 or 4 week break, but it is unusual for him to not play between majors. So, mm-hmm. But I think if he gets in contention this weekend, then, who knows what's going to happen going forward. I mean, he might just run the table, or he might, reel off a bunch more majors. I think anything's possible.
Did it say anything to you that we've seen him be in contention in recent years, and unlike the old days, he couldn't close? A lot of the competition fell back on the back nine or the second nine in Augusta a month ago, but he refused to fall back. He didn't exactly run away with it, but, you look at what he did at 16. He just never took that step back that he had been taking a step back. How how important is that in your mind for him going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a different animal now. I mean, he, you know, back in the other day, older days, you know, he relied on his athleticism and his raw power, and you know, he was just better than everybody. And now, mm-hmm. with all of his back issues and, you know, knee surgeries and the spinal fusion surgery that he had 2 years ago, you know, he doesn't overwhelm the golf course like he once did.
Right.
So I think this time, this version of Tiger, you know, whatever version 2.0 or 3.0, whatever you want to call it, he's more patient. You know, he let them come back to him. You know, even standing on the 12th tee, I think he was at least two behind Molinari.
Right.
You know, and after he hit it in the water, you know, Tiger, you know, he just took the patient play, hit it right over the bunker and put it in the middle of the green. And, you know, a lot's been made out of the fact that, you know, Tony Finau also hit it in the water, the two other guys in his threesome.
Right.
And while they're going to the drop area, Tiger walks over the Hogan Bridge and goes right onto the green. So there's a great shot of, you know, those guys out there at the drop area, and here's Tiger up on the green, you know, leaning on his putter, kind of looking back at him like, you know, like, hey, look who's here.
Yeah. Or come on, guys, what's taking you so long? One of the two, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about Bethpage. It's been played as a U.S. Open course twice, and we know the USGA and the PGA take a little bit different approach to setting up the golf course. Do you expect it to be the test that it was in 2002 and 2009 with the USGA, or is the PGA going to be, is it going to be easier? Is it going to be harder? What's your take?
I guess I'll, you know, wait and see how the weather impacts this week. I know they've had a lot of rain already, and I think it's supposed to keep raining into tomorrow at least. Mm-hmm. But, and that'll make the rough play more difficult to get out of. I mean, it's, you know, it's 7,500 yards, and, you know, that's kind of common for folks nowadays to, right. to play that type of course for a major. But yeah, usually the, you know, the PGA is a little bit more receptive to scoring, and they, you know, their totals, you know, tend to be double digit under par, and, you know, that's not always the case at a U.S. Open, so. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think somewhere in the, you know, like, you know, 8, 7, 8, 9 under par will probably win this thing.
Yeah, I was doing some research today, and I guess it had slipped my mind that the Barclays or Northern Trust, whatever they're calling it nowadays, was played at Bethpage as well. And I was trying to remember how the contrast was between the tour setting up the course and the USGA setting up the course, and I couldn't remember. I don't know if you have any kind of ideas on that.
Yeah, I just remember that Patrick Reed, I believe, won the last time they were at Bethpage for a tournament. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's a guy that's got plenty of length, and mm-hmm. you know, usually drives the ball pretty well. And I think that's what, you know, whoever wins this week is going to have to do, is, you know, be a combination of length and accuracy. And, you know, I don't think you can just hit it all over the parking lot, a la Phil Mickelson, and
right.
and get away with it at Bethpage. So. I think of somebody that's got some controlled power will be the guy to look for.
Are you taking Tiger, or do you have somebody else in mind?
You know, initially I was a little skeptical of Tiger because, you know, I didn't like the fact that he hadn't played any competition since the Masters. But the more I'm reading all the press clippings and the national press and the guys, the bloggers and all that stuff there, everybody thinks that he's dialed in and that his iron game will carry him. So I've kind of jumped on that bandwagon a little bit. You know, other than Tiger, the usual suspects, you know, Brooks Koepka, you know,
sure.
you can't discount him. Rory McIlroy, you know, when he's driving the ball, he's as good as they come. And, you know, of course, guys like Dustin Johnson, you know, so it's, you know, that's a lot of chalk up there. But, mm-hmm. you know, those are the guys that I would look at.
So since we're speculating, let's take it even a step further. You mentioned that you were a Nicklaus aficionado. I grew up 10 minutes from where Jack Nicklaus did, so I have a great appreciation for Jack Nicklaus, too. So the question now is, with Tiger having won another major, and now is within, I think, 3 majors of Jack, does he catch him? What are your thoughts?
I think this year will tell us a lot if he gets it, you know. If you look at Tiger's career, to me, it seems like he wins the majors in bunches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he won the first one in 97, then he took a couple of years, and then, of course, 2000, he just started pouring in after that.
Right.
So, you know, I think if he can knock off one, you know, either this week or at Pebble Beach at the U.S. Open next month,
mm-hmm.
you know, the British Open's at Portrush, Northern Ireland, which will be new for a new major venue for everybody. I don't think it's been played since since 51. So
oh, okay.
I don't think there's anybody in the field who has played a major
no.
there.
No.
But but my point is that if Tiger can go ahead and get another one this year, I think he'll pass Jack. You know, and I'm looking sort of, you know, Tiger has like a history of playing well at certain courses, you know, Pebble mm-hmm. Beach for the U.S. Open, St. Andrews mm-hmm. for the British Open. And, mm-hmm. you know, as I wrote in my column that you can find on Augusta.com, mm-hmm. I'm looking at the St. Andrews for the British Open in 2021 is the, maybe that's where he'll surpass
Jack. That's either 18 or 19, huh?
Yeah. So that's my prediction because he always seems to, you know, to rise to the big occasion and does special things at special courses.
Well, enjoy the golf. I know it's going to be odd to be watching a major in May, but that's probably a little bit better than watching a major in August. So we'll look forward to it. But thanks for coming on, John.
Yeah, you got it, Adam.
That's it for this special edition of the Commute Podcast, a production of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. Thank you to our guest, John Boyette. Thank you for listening to The Commute.